is now the right time to do this with Drake May?
Absolutely not. This is a bad decision in New England. One, their offensive line is the worst pass-blocking offensive line in the NFL. Right now, it is the worst. Jacoby Brissett, who has been their starting quarterback, listen to this. He has been pressured on 47% of his drop-back passes. That 47% is the highest number for a quarterback since 2006. You want to take a rookie quarterback and set him up to struggle? Put him behind this New England offensive line. On top of that, it's a bottom probably five or six group wide receiver-wise when it comes to getting open. Okay, so you guys know me. There's a couple things I always say. Young quarterbacks need to go play well and survive. They need to have a really good scheme and play caller. Alex Van Pelt, I like his scheme. There's been moments when he's shown to be a good play caller. Still unknown. Really good offensive line, really good skill players. Again, New England has at least two of those three missing. This is not the right choice.
What a wuss. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
Unbelievable.
What a wuss.
Good Lord. So he would be don't play him all year and
No.
Maybe not next year.
I think entering the draft.
Yeah.
I think he's backed off this in his defense. That's Dan Orlovsky, if you're unfamiliar. Final hour, Jones and Keith on WEEI.
That's insane.
Let me summarize Dan Orlovsky real quick.
Yeah, please do.
So what a wuss. Like, the idea that you can't play him. He didn't want to play him for 2 years in draft season. He wouldn't put him up. You couldn't pay him enough money. That was Rob Mayo. You couldn't pay him enough money to get him on the field this year. So obviously he thinks it's the wrong decision. At least he's consistent, as you pointed out earlier today, Keith. But I think it's the wrong decision because they should have done it 5 weeks ago.
But then they never should have drafted him.
Well, honestly, yeah, I agree with that, too.
Like, everything's not going to be perfect. Like, how many teams would you feel great about putting him on? Like, you can come up with some reason not to play. Like, even some of these good teams don't have offensive lines. Mm-hmm. Like, the Bengals a couple years ago, Joe Burrow gets him to the Super Bowl. But Dan Orlovsky probably wouldn't have put Burrow out there because the O-line, what's the pressure rate? What's the offensive pass protection win rate?
It's a good point.
Oh, there's a lot of pressures, a lot of sacks. Oh, yeah, I can't play him. It's the quarterback that you got. Like, the quarterback, believe it or not, can elevate the play of those around them. Like, next year, there's no guarantee that they have a great offensive line and a non-bottom five skill position receiver room, right? And so each year you keep going, now you're just sitting on this guy, and then what, it's year three, year four, now you're going to make a decision on his contract? It's worked. Well, it's kind of worked in Green Bay. I mean, they have one Super Bowl to show for it, really. You know, ever since, so like, I'm not counting Brett Favre because they had Brett Favre.
No, they have one Super Bowl to show for it, correct.
For their whole thing about like, oh, look at these quarterbacks. They found these quarterbacks. They arrested these quarterbacks, or they developed these quarterbacks. All right, Rodgers won once. They
should have won more.
Yeah.
And let's see what Jordan Love.
Okay, TBD on Love. Mm-hmm. But that's a 20-year run where you have one Super Bowl. So great. Like, you have one Super Bowl. Teams have gotten one Super Bowl in a variety of different ways. You don't need to redshirt a quarterback for 3 years.
No, you shouldn't have to. Let me ask you this. Are you bothered by May's lack of collegiate experience?
No, and I think it's overblown. Sorry, you have some stats ready, but I think it's wildly overblown.
Me too. And like, I would point to C.J. Stroud, but Reese made this point in a column last night at ESPN Boston. He said part of the reason the Patriots didn't start May immediately, despite Mayo's view that the rookie had closed the gap on Brissett by the end of training camp, which Mayo reiterated today.
Oh, yeah.
It's the combination of his age and college experience, according to team sources. So this is from the team.
Okay.
Alex Van Pelt said before the year, May was better off sitting. The OC reiterated that, blah, blah, blah. May was the youngest and least experienced of the NFL's six first-round quarterbacks. He turned 22 on August 30th. He started 26 games at the University of North Carolina. I believe Caleb Williams started 33. Jaden Daniels started 50-something. J.J. McCarthy didn't start a ton.
No.
He was a first-round pick by the Vikings. C.J. Stroud started, I think, fewer games.
Bo Nix started 200,
yeah,
I believe,
right,
is what the number was. No, he came in an interesting class because, you know, with COVID and everything else, you have a few guys that, you know, and with transferring, like, he's the one guy in the class, besides McCarthy, I guess, but out of the six first-rounders, four of them transferred and played multiple years and all this stuff. So it's kind of a different class, but the New England Patriots, I know it wasn't Elliott Wolf and Jerod Mayo, but the New England Patriots started Mac Jones a couple years ago. Who had more college starts, Mac Jones or Drake May?
Mac.
No, Drake May.
Really?
Drake May had more starts.
How about
that? And so I think age, I don't look at age as much because some of these guys prep a year in high school or whatever it might be. They're held back on purpose for sports. Some don't. Some just go right through the line. So he was in college for 3 years. which is kind of what a lot of players used to do. You go 3 years, you're really good, you go pro.
Yeah, you redshirt a year, you play two.
Yeah. Go sometimes, play. Like, go back in the day, a lot of college players didn't play till like, their junior, senior year. They didn't even play at all. And now more and more freshmen are playing, more and more sophomores are playing. So he was with a D1 team as a freshman. Then he started every game as a sophomore and a junior. Then he went pro. He was the third pick. I don't think it's that crazy. People are making – I think they do fall in love with the age part. He happens to be a younger guy that was there. Fine. College experience, though, I think is what really is more important than – you know, what his birth certificate says. And people just miss the fact that he started every game for 2 years like it was nothing because it wasn't 5 years like some of the other guys in his class.
Right. He wasn't a one-year wonder.
He wasn't a one-year wonder, and he also wasn't like an Anthony Richardson-like project.
No. I mean, look, I think there's elements to his game where you need to project out, but yeah, I'm with you. That doesn't concern me. And if you're concerned about it, well, then you would have been terrified to play C.J. Stroud, and you would have been wrong.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Reese also wrote this over the weekend. This was part of his story last night, the pressure rates. And this jumped out to me. We never talked about it, but this is in his Sunday notes. Entering the Brissett game on Sunday. Brissett's final start, rather, on Sunday. He says, according to ESPN research, the Patriots entering the Miami game are allowing a pressure rate of 46%. It's higher now. They're 1-3. He says, if that continues, it would easily be the top pressure rate allowed since ESPN began tracking the statistics 16 years ago. So that sounds bad, right?
It does.
He then goes and details the other highest pressured teams. The 2018 Texans, the 2014 Seahawks, the 2022 Bears. Those are the other highest rates in that span. Okay? I looked at that and I said, I think a couple of those teams were good.
Yeah, 2018 Texans were.
2018 Texans, Deshaun Watson, I mean, back when he was good.
Yeah, they were 11-5, weren't they?
They were 11-5 and made the playoffs with Deshaun Watson, who was a young quarterback.
The 14 Seahawks made or won a Super Bowl, didn't they?
Won the Super Bowl the year prior and got back to a Super Bowl, lost to the Patriots. They went 12-4 with Russell Wilson in his second year. So to me, the Bears would be the outlier team in 2022. I think that was still Trubisky. I meant to double-check that. Two of those teams were really good.
And second-year quarterbacks.
With young young mobile quarterbacks. So that, to me, is the real story in those numbers. Yeah, they give up a high pressure rate. And with a dead duck back there like Jacoby Brissett, the only week he looked elusive was against Cincinnati. A dead duck back there in Jacoby Brissett, well, yeah, the offense doesn't do anything. But with a young mobile quarterback, it was good enough for the Texans to win 11 games. It was good for the Seahawks to get to a Super Bowl and win 12 games.
It was the 2022 Bears.
Yeah,
it was Justin Fields, but I also think he had like 7 seconds to throw the ball and didn't throw it.
Well, that does blow up. I thought it was still Trubisky. That blows me up a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
But still.
No, it's also Brissett. He's holding on to the ball forever.
Two out of the three were young mobile quarterbacks that got to the playoffs, and it didn't hold them back. So to me, yeah, okay, a high pressure rate has not broken two other young quarterbacks. If the quarterback's good and he can play, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think so much of it has been Brissett holding on to the ball. And people just don't want to hear that. They look at it like, well, that offensive lineman, you know, he got beat. How many times, just on a weekly basis, do you see quarterbacks getting rushed, stepping up in the pocket and making a big play?
All the time.
Like, it's less that you see just pat the ball back there and nobody's anywhere near them and then they throw it downfield. I feel like that's way less.
I see it every week with Jaden Daniels. Yeah. Every week, Jaden Daniels getting flushed out of the pocket. You know what he does?
Mahomes
tucks the football and runs.
I mean, Mahomes is also a tough comparison, but whatever. Like, yeah, Daniels is a much better one. It's a rookie. Okay, even Bo Nix.
I was literally just going to say the same thing.
As slow as the start is, it's gotten off to for Bo Nix the last couple of weeks, and I'll admit it's been more highlights than I've watched than full games of the Broncos, but it's the same thing. There's defenders coming at him. He scoots out of there, finds a guy, lets him make a play.
Do it to the other team.
Not anymore.
There's been less of that.
Bo leave in Denver right now. Hopefully they wear those unis the rest of the way.
I would go back to those.
Yeah. He should throw a fit and be like, I'm never taking these off.
He won with that uniform.
Yep.
I love the Drake Mays rocking the throwback.
Oh, my God.
I do love that.
Isn't that great? That's like everything's coming together. It was a really tough five-week stretch. But not only is Drake May coming out, the red uniforms with the white Pat Patriot helmets, which are the best helmets in football.
Against C.J. Stroud. Like, I think that's part of it, too. Like, here, there's your trivia. He's in the Pat Patriot throwback in his first start against, you know, maybe a future all-pro, certainly Pro Bowl-level player.
Did you see the Texans uniforms last week?
Yeah, I didn't like them.
Terrible.
Yeah, I didn't like those.
Awful uniform.
The University of Houston has worn like a similar thing. Everybody in Houston tries to do like an Oilers throwback.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the University of Houston has worn a similar thing. Theirs look good. The Texans ones were terrible.
Did you see what Western Kentucky was doing?
Yes, with the eyeballs.
The eyeballs. The crazy mascot who I love so much. They just put his big weird eyeballs on the side of the helmet.
Pretty great.
It's amazing.
Pretty great.
Yeah, I like that.
I would say for power rankings, it goes like those and then Pat Patriot.
Pat Patriot. Those are the two.
The Broncos Orange Crush got to be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Those are great uniforms.
I think I want to get a Pat Patriot giant, like life-size helmet. I don't know what I would do with it. I'm not sure I could really justify that.
What does
a
giant life-size helmet mean?
Like, you mean like a helmet? Not like a mini helmet. I like a bunch of mini helmets. Yeah, no, yeah. I mean one I could put on. Not giant, that I would put it on.
Not giant, like, you know, like the size of like a beanbag or something like
no,
that.
No, like a standard
like
one.
A helmet size helmet.
They're really expensive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Helmets are. And then my wife would be like, "Where? What are you doing with that?
Don't worry.
What is the point of that?" I'm like, "Well, I don't know.
I thought a hornet's nest for this."
That's true. I could put it on and go after the hornets, and at least I would have some sort of protection.
That's a good
point. Like if I trip and fell,
you
got ahead.
You got to sell the hornet's nest to buy it, though. It's a real.
You know what? That might be it.
It's a real chicken or egg.
If I can sell the hornet's nest,
that's what Nick just said.
Oh, is that what you said?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I thought you said I could attack the hornet's nest with the helmet on.
Maybe I misheard you.
No,
I thought
you sell the hornet's nest for the helmet.
There's so instead of getting another PS5 to stack on top of my already pre-existing PS5, I get a
just
Patriots helmet.
Just keep betting the Bozo parlay.
That's a good point. Bozo touchdown parlay, or you got to sell that hornet's nest so people can do unspeakable things you can't do in many states on the dark web. Sell that thing. You can buy a helmet.
How much do you think this puppy would cost? I want like a full size one. No, that I don't think that's it. That looks like a mini replica.
How much is that?
This looks like it's the real deal right here.
What's that going to run you?
Too much. Too much.
Yeah, but like what? A hornet's nest?
$389.99.
Yeah, that's a hornet's nest.
The New England Patriots Rydell 82-89 Speed Throwback Collection full size authentic helmet.
Yeah.
I have to have that.
Yeah.
Look at that beauty.
What? Just ask Wiggy. Wiggy's got an extra helmet lying around?
I wonder if he ever wore those.
He's had Patriots?
Two seasons?
That's a good point.
They didn't always bring those back because that was still earlier on. Now they are looked back with nostalgia. My wife's like, how much you get? $390. $3.90? Like, no.
No.
I spent $400.
No, my whole hornet's nest budget.
40 hams. Cost me 40 hams.
40 hams?
Like, what are you going to do
39,
with it?
39 hams.
What am I not going to do with it? I could wear it in the car for extra safety. Imagine driving by somebody on the highway, just like no normal speed.
Yeah.
Got a helmet on.
Got to get a visor on that thing.
I would go shield.
Yeah, you have to.
Should you go tinted or clear?
Tinted. So in high school, I wanted to wear a shield, but you needed to get like a medical note to get the tinted one because they need to be able to run out in the field to be like, do you have a concussion or not?
Your eyes are trash. You should be able to do that.
I should have.
Yeah.
So I wore a clear one for a while. Horrible. It was like a cheap one. You get sweating and all of a sudden fogs up on you. I'm like, can't find it. I'm like, we got to get this thing out of here. Oh, it was a horrible decision. It looks cool as hell, the tinted one.
Yeah. Oh. The best.
But yeah, the regular one is pretty useless.
You get like that rainbow thing going on there. That's real nice. Cool.
And then the defense is like, they can see themselves while they're looking at it.
Yeah, throws them off.
Yeah,
it distracts them.
I like that a lot.
I got a little distracted when Orlovsky, by the way, we shouldn't ignore this. He had the line in there about how good Van Pelt's offense is.
Yeah, that kind of throws everything you said out the window.
Because
I like his scheme. There's been moments when he's shown to be a good play caller.
I like his
moments?
Scheme.
That's such
name
a,
him.
That's just such a general thing to say.
Go ahead and name the moment. I can name one moment. I like the little hook and lateral play.
Oh, hook and lateral was good. That got called back. That actually wasn't even a real play.
What was the other play you liked? The little play action near the goal line. They got Austin Hooper a little TD.
Oh, yeah, that was good. The fourth down play?
He's wide open.
Yeah, okay, fine.
It's one of Jacoby Brissett's two touchdown passes.
All right, I'll bend the knee. There have been multiple plays that we like from Alex Van Pelt.
So,
more than one.
Dan Orlovsky loves the scheme that the Patriots have, which has generated 12 points per game and two passing touchdowns in 5 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good scheme.
A guy who's on pace for 7 touchdown passes in a season loves that scheme.
Do you have a conspiracy on why he likes the scheme?
I think he must like Van Pelt or know Van Pelt. I don't know what the crossover would be. I have no idea, although I never would have connected him and Mac Jones
together. But that would make sense.
Yeah.
That would make sense. Like, is Orlovsky speaking for Van Pelt? That would make sense. Like, why is he? Who likes this scheme? And so we know the old 2-6 show. We know Orlovsky was texting with Mac every week. We know he talks to people throughout the league.
You think this?
And so he's speaking for Van Pelt when he says, horrible decision. That's Van Pelt speaking. And I wouldn't play him this year. You couldn't pay me enough. That's Van Pelt speaking. And he's going to sit for 2 years. That's Orlovsky said all those things. Maybe that's Van Pelt.
You know what Dan Orlovsky, Mac Jones, Jacoby Brissett, and Alex Van Pelt all have in common?
What's that?
bad NFL quarterbacks.
None of them are very good at QB.
Now, listen, now who am I to say, right? Oh, Keith, what do you know? I'm just saying, listen, those guys are NFL players. They're better than 99% of the humans that are walking out there. Like, all the caveats that go with it. I never besmirch a professional athlete for making the professional ranks. But they're all bad quarterbacks, so maybe they're kind of all defending each other.
Well, this was my – I like your Keefspiracy that maybe Van Pelt is a source for him. I like that. But my theory is just Dan Orlovsky, always nice when we had him on afternoons. Like, nice guy.
All those guys seem nice.
Way better quarterback than you are, Keith. Like, that should go without saying.
Yeah, right.
But, like, he's one of these guys that looks at it through the lens of him as a player, and he wasn't good. Yeah. Like, no offense, you weren't good. And so he looks at it as a quarterback, and he says, well, I needed an offensive line, and I needed weapons, and I needed a running game, and I needed a defense, and I needed good coaching. Mm-hmm. That's what I needed to be successful. Drake may not need that. Or at least what we think Drake May can be, an elite quarterback, does not need that. And Orlovsky doesn't get that because he wasn't that. That's what I think.
And you know how I feel about Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan, but when you see like these clips from the Manning cast, he's willing to call out quarterback. Like, quarterback play that is bad irritates him. It's because he was a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think he sees that. He's like, that guy needs to make a better decision, and then the team would be better off. I feel like, and maybe it's just the clips that I see, he's more freaking out about quarterback decisions than he is like left guard or running back or wideout, whereas a guy like Orlovsky is kind of looking for everything else.
No, he makes everything else is the problem before you get to the quarterback, which is why he was a Mac guy.
And like, Shannon Sharp lost his mind on him the other
obviously
night.
Wrong about that. Sharp lost his mind on Orlovsky.
Yes, because there was a clip going around the other day.
You don't mean... like on Instagram Live. You don't mean like that. Do
no,
you?
No,
I missed that video.
He was on set. He was, you could see his face.
Because, wow.
He was yelling about him.
What an image.
Maybe I can grab it. Maybe I'll grab it for grab bag. But he was screaming at him because Orlovsky didn't rip Rodgers for how bad the Jets have been. Mm. And so Shannon Sharp just like lost his mind. He's like, you don't rip any of the quarterbacks. It was pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I'll get that.
Speaking of Rodgers, Rodgers will definitely be in grab bag. He was on McAfee today.
Well, he was supposed to be on yesterday. Yep. They postponed it to today after the Saleh news. But he did talk about Saleh.
It's embarrassing, so you'll hear that coming up. Meanwhile, a couple of tweets. Two tweets. Andrew Callahan said, wide-ranging NFL reaction to Drake May starting. One Patriots veteran is happy, believing it'll make the offense more aggressive. Another veteran confirmed May has performed well in practice but didn't have a feel for how the games will go. Two outside front office executives were surprised. One sensed the Pats felt pressure to change QBs, probably from ownership. Another didn't believe this was a pure coaching decision. Again, inferring the same thing. I do think this goes above the head coach, because I think if it was up to the head coach would have made this decision in week one. So I think that speaks to going above that. Meanwhile, Mike Giardi also had this one. He says, and this is from a source within the league, May is so raw. The tape from the Jets game was scary. He's going to make some plays for you, but he's going to make a lot more plays for them, meaning the opposition, which that...
All right, so how
that
you,
doesn't bother either one of us.
No, it doesn't. Like, I think just plays period would be fun.
I mean,
I'm in for plays.
Scary bothers me, but like, right, if he's making plays for you and the opposition, well, fine. Then that's a step forward from Brissett, who's just making them for the opposition.
I mean, that's like a hot trigger word there. How would that same person describe the Jacoby Brissett offense? Maybe not scary, but maybe like bored to tears, or like, how would you describe it?
Safe, but like, the thing is, he's really not that safe. He threw a pick six against the Niners.
Yeah.
He threw over the middle of the field when you couldn't do that at the end of the game last week against the Dolphins.
Hunter Henry bailed him out of a pick in the first game, second game, right?
Good point. Yeah. He took a killer sack against Seattle and knocked him out of field goal range, which ultimately got a kick blocked.
Yep.
So like,
what would you call that?
Maybe it's safe, but that's making plays for the opponent. Exactly.
Dark and stormy nights in the Twitch chat shooketh. Maybe they would describe the Jacoby Brissett offense as...
Shook it. That's a good way to describe it.
I can see that.
So you can jump in on all that. Matt's in Rhode Island waiting patiently. Go ahead, Matt.
How are you doing, guys? On my checklist, it's are you going to run out the back of the end zone? If not, shoot up, son. It's time to go. But with all the West Coast offenses, going back to Walsh and Holmgren, like you always see like play action fake as being like one of the main parts of that. Didn't see that on Sunday. Especially when you're running at 7 yards a clip, I think it's probably pretty smart they implement that. All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, look, I think play action will work with a quarterback who can actually throw. I don't think play action works with Jacoby Brissett, who doesn't scare anybody. When he hasn't thrown for 200 yards yet in the game. So, Keith,
they weren't taking the cheese.
These are you said earlier, like, what's the goal? You said 20 points for Drake May.
Yeah.
Are you ready to back off that? Like 17?
17. I'm not going any lower than 17.
Okay. We said they need to score two offensive touchdowns to feel good about it.
Which
against
they
Houston.
Have. They've That's how many they've scored in the last 3 weeks combined.
Yeah. They don't have to necessarily both be throws.
Nope.
But two offensive touchdowns.
Yes.
And sometime soon, I'd like to see 200 passing yards. That is a low bar, but that's how bad it's been with Brissett that's the bar. Yeah. So you can continue to discuss this all day long here on WEEI. Christian Arcan and Andy Hart did great work with Adam Schefter on the show yesterday. You can find that on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also view that on YouTube on WEEI. Just subscribe there. They're going to have Tommy Curran on today, a Tommy Thursday,
nice.
As it were.
All
right. So stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons. You can give them a call on this, 617-779-7937. On the way next, though, Keith, it's time for Grab Bag!
It's time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. What a busy day it has been. Mostly Drake May talk. Of course, Bruins opened up last night. Jones' guy, Corposalo, gave up a six-pack of goals.
No comment.
Montgomery said it was all defense, and Corposalo played great.
I will comment on that. It was all defense. Corposalo was 29
you're
saves.
You're in lockstep.
Yeah, you're selling it short. Yeah.
I got you. Yeah. All right, but let's dive into this Grab Bag. Stories we didn't get to, including the baseball playoffs roll on. A pair of game threes in the NLDS yesterday. Mets all over the Phillies, 7-2. So they are up 2-1 in that series. And the San Diego Padres, another ding-dong from Fernando Tatis Jr. And the Padres defeated the Dodgers 6-5. So both the Dodgers and Phillies facing elimination.
Yeah, it's not where I expected it to be. I'm not surprised the Padres are giving the Dodgers a series like that. That's been arguably the best team in baseball
Tatis
since.
Tatis is awesome.
The All-Star break.
Bullpen day for the Dodgers, by the way.
Today?
Yeah.
So I didn't even know that.
Cease versus a bullpen.
I'm more surprised. That's not ideal. I'm more surprised that Philly's on the ropes. Like, that's surprising.
Yeah, no, that is too bad, but we'll see what happens.
Grab bag.
Everybody's playing today. All four series are in action today. All right. It starts with Guardians-Tigers. Series tied at 1. Then you have Phillies-Mets. Again, Mets up 2-1. Then at 7:08, you have Yankees-Royals. Series tied at 1. And then the 9 o'clock game is Padres-Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been loosely following Yankees and Royals, and I am intrigued about how bad Judge has been and whether or not the pressure of New York is crushing him in some of these playoff series. I still don't think the Yankees are going to lose to the Royals, but let's
see. Seth Lugo on the hill.
That's a
Seth
nice
Lugo
pitcher.
Lugo versus Clark Schmidt.
Could have been a Red Sox. Like, if you're watching that game tonight to root against the Yankees, just remember, the
couldn't
Red Sox cheaped out on Seth Lugo and they let the Royals outspend
him.
Could
not afford him.
Now I'm standing. Y'all happy?
Oops.
I didn't kill my wife. I don't.
Grab bag.
How about this? Juju Watkins just signed a mega deal with Nike. She became the highest-scoring freshman in the history of women's college basketball last year. So Juju Watkins at Southern Cal. Look out, Caitlin Clark. Here comes Juju Watkins.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, look.
She was second in the country behind Caitlin Clark last year in scoring.
And
she's the real deal.
And she had a big following already, to
yes.
your point.
Yeah,
and so,
yeah.
Yeah, she can carry that torch, yeah.
You've been hit by a smooth
grab bag.
Derek Carr out indefinitely with an oblique injury. We saw Jake Haener come in the game on Monday night, but Derek Carr being out, I would suggest, Jones, that might cross off the Saints as a destination for Devontae Adams.
Oh, good point.
Yes.
I was going to say, I mean, he's not going to be the first head coach fired. That was Robert Saleh, but that might put Dennis Allen on the hot seat, Nick.
Ooh.
That was both who Nick
Denny
and I
Allen?
Thought was going to be the
second
first
coach fired.
Yeah, second head coach fired.
Second coach fired.
Keep an eye on that. I mean, look, Derek Carr, I think, is fine. I made this argument all last offseason when he was in play to maybe go to like New York and the Jets. I'm like, I would way rather have Derek Carr than Mac Jones.
Yeah.
I feel strongly about that, but you know, he's not great. That offense fell apart after the first 2 weeks of the year, and if it's Jake Haener or Spencer Rattler, I can't imagine that's going to go well. And if you watch them on Monday night, they were atrocious.
Yeah, and it looks like Devontae Adams is likely out again this week with his hamstring injury that he's doing.
The old
hamstring's barking at me.
Real sore. You got to rub some money on that thing to make that feel better, yeah.
Honey, where's my
grab bag?
What?
Where is my
grab bag?
Good news for Colorado Rocky fans is the team has extended manager Bud Black for the 2025 season despite back-to-back 100-loss seasons.
So what is that? Is that just...
He's been there a long time.
This is a payment because you're going through the rebuild and you've been a good soldier and you've done what we've asked, so we're going to pay you. It's not your fault tanking.
What's the point of somebody else, I guess? Like, who could do a better job is what they're thinking. The team is garbage.
So, like, I mean, I imagine they'll still fire him if they have another terrible season, but, like, this is a reward for, you know, sitting through a rebuild.
Grab bag.
The Utah Hockey Club made their debut last night, playing in Salt Lake City, and they got a 5-2 win over the Blackhawks. What do you think of that?
Oh, I didn't stay up for that. They won that game.
Utah Hockey Club, 1-0 in team history.
It was on right after the Bruins, so I watched their owner, Ryan Smith, who also owns the Jazz. I had no idea who this was.
Nice.
But he was on there. He looks like Danny Cannell, if you know what Danny Cannell looks like.
Yeah, I sure do.
And he's on there, and I was blown away that this guy owns multiple professional sports. He's super young. Yeah, blown away by the whole thing. But he was asked by Steve Levy.
Where did he get his money?
Make
an app?
Yeah, what was it? I read the company that he founded last. He's a co-founder of some company.
Bumble?
Like, it's got to be daddy's money. It wasn't.
No, he made his own money.
It sounds the limited reading I did on it, yes. But
Qualtrics.
Thank you.
The hell's Qualtrics?
I didn't know what it was, but that was the company, yes.
Ryan Smith. Parentheses businessman.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
He's a businessman.
Ryan Smith wife pops up very quickly if you want to Google that. But
what's her story?
You know, good question. We were all wondering. And so I was like blown away. But Steve Levy asked him, he's like, nice. Is a Stanley Cup? Thank you. Yeah. Is a Stanley Cup a realistic goal this year? And he was like, what? He's like, what kind of question is that? Like, he was like, I mean, we're just worried about tonight, man. But yeah, no, I don't think it's a realistic goal. I didn't realize they won that game. Yeah. I didn't stay up for it.
He has five children, and he's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, he from Eugene, went to BYU. I was deep in the Wikipedia page last night.
He's
a
billionaire.
Yeah, good for him.
Sports fan. I mean,
gotta be.
At some level.
Yeah.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up. This is my
grab bag.
Aaron Rodgers is a weekly guest on the Pat McAfee Show. He was scheduled to be on yesterday, but with the news that Robert Saleh was canned, they postponed that to today.
Okay. Have you heard any of this yet or no?
I've
read it.
I've read it,
and it's so douchey. It's got to be 10 times worse hearing it.
All right, here's my guy Aaron Rodgers talking to McAfee about Robert Saleh.
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, and that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't. But I love Robert, and it was one of those days yesterday.
Okay,
How about that. I'm with him.
I'm going to say
it has nothing to do with it.
It's about three sentences. Yeah, no, it couldn't have.
No power at all. Didn't get the whole package. No, I mean, he
loves him so much, he was shoving him on national TV or whatever, Prime, I guess. But on a national game, Thursday Night Football, he's shoving him. That's how much he loves him.
He can't stand it.
What did he call it? Insulting? Yeah. What was the word he used?
Resents it.
Oh, he resents the notion that he has that power and influence within the Jets organization. From what I read, Saleh wanted to demote Nathaniel Hackett. And instead of demoting Nathaniel Hackett,
probably a good call by Saleh.
They fired Saleh. So who on earth do you think was behind that?
Couldn't have been Aaron Rodgers.
I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false.
And I'll try to find the guy who did this.
I'm with you, big guy.
I like how he goes, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence on it. And immediately, it was not a ton of time, but it was a good two or three sentences for sure.
For him, though, pretty close to
that. That's
sentence.
True. Yeah.
What are we, 10 years old? I've seen every
grab bag
on the planet.
The Aaron Hernandez show, I've not watched. Now, Billy, you've seen a decent amount of it, right? A couple episodes?
Two.
Oh, just two episodes.
Oh, okay, so you're not caught up.
I got three burning a hole in my DVR.
I can't.
Yeah, they're all. I have not watched one. They're all sitting on my DVR.
So it's not really fair, but I did see PFT commenter from the Pardon My Take podcast on Barstool. He's been tweeting out videos specifically of the guy playing Bill Belichick and the guy playing Robert Kraft, and it is phenomenal. And apparently there's one, and by phenomenal I mean
so bad.
It looks like SNL would do a better job of like putting together characters.
I legit go to
PFT
commenters timeline. I no joke, when Kraft came onto the screen, I gasped.
It was hilarious.
It was unbelievable.
The Belichick guy makes me laugh too. Belichick guy's hilarious.
The Belichick guy, he has the facial expressions down.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think he really looks like Bill in terms of the look or sound like him or anything.
No.
But I think he has the facial expressions and like some of the mannerisms like completely down.
Yeah.
I actually give him credit.
Okay.
I think he's halfway decent.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Kraft guy.
Oh my God.
Was a joke.
Was like they pulled him off the street. Like, hey, can you do a Robert Kraft? He's like, not really. They're like, no, you got to do a Robert Kraft.
They're like, hey,
right,
you're in your 50s. Can we paint you orange and play like an 80-year-old?
Insane.
Just do that. Come out and grab a cup of coffee. He's like, and he has like a line too. He's like,
yeah.
We had some problems with Moss. Went undefeated. And then he's just off the screen. Yes, there's like this bright orange thunderbolt that went across the sky. But okay, what's this clip?
I guess Gronk. No, we don't have the clip. I'm just saying,
oh, we don't.
If you see it, no, but they did one with Rob Gronkowski now. So they're introducing more and more characters that we would know.
Good.
And apparently they're all like hysterically bad.
Gronk
like
was,
so bad it's good is apparently what's going for. But there's also, I was talking to Hart about it off the air. There's stuff. Like, inaccuracies would be easy to clean up.
Yeah.
That I think as a sports fan, you'd get annoyed with. Like, I think they said something like, all right, the fourth and final round, like, let's see, like, for the NFL draft, and they're taking them, and you're like, that's just an easy thing to get right. Like, there's more than four rounds.
You would think that would be a real easy thing to get right.
So, no, I don't think, like, I was sort of a maybe I'll go back and watch it, but I don't know. I'll just watch the humorous clips.
Yeah,
I think.
Clips are good enough.
I think
that's a clip viewing.
Here's Grab Bag.
We mentioned Igor Shesterkin turned down an 8-for-88 deal by the New York Rangers. Linus Ullmark signed a 4-year at $8.25 million per year, so a very similar deal to Jeremy Swayman, just half the years. What do you think Shesterkin's actually going to get?
Yeah, we were talking about literally going to be my question.
Yeah, we've been talking about Swayman for a while, asking for 10. We didn't think he was really going to get 10, didn't even get 9. Shesterkin's turning down 11. So talk about resetting the goalie market. No goalie makes 11 right now. So that already would have been the highest paid goalie. That seems like more than a fair offer by the Rangers. So what does he think he's actually going to get?
I mean, 12, 12 and a half?
Yeah.
I mean, something like that. I have no idea. Ready? Shesterkin is 28.
All right.
Swayman's 25, is that right?
He's a young gun.
Swayman is 25. Swayman career goals against 234.
Pretty good.
Shesterkin 243.
What?
Save percentage for Swayman, 919.
Okay.
Save percentage for Shesterkin, 921. Now, Shesterkin has won a Vezina.
Yep.
He's been an all-star once, like Swayman.
How's he in the playoffs?
He's finished top 10 in the Vezina three times. He's finished first in 2022, eighth, and then fourth last year. How's he been in the playoffs?
That's crazy money, though, for a goalie. I mean,
he went to an Eastern Conference final in 2022, right?
Okay.
They played 20 games that year. They won a round last year.
All right.
So he's won a few rounds. His overall numbers, 241 and 928. Versus Swayman in the postseason, which is I should be able to get this faster than this.
Yes.
Here you go.
238-922. Okay.
So like the numbers are not that far off, but Shesterkin's got the hardware. He is older, so I'm guessing he's gonna want 12 and a half.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, I've stumped you guys the last few goes. So this one is going to be
not everyone though. I'm Arcan yesterday got Bip Roberts.
Oh, good point.
The text line was blowing up.
Right.
You certainly stumped the show.
Not the audience at whole. I mean, Jones, Billy, and Nick. I've been able to stump the last few times. So this one's admittedly a little bit easier. It's also very topical because it is a guy who played for both Detroit and Cleveland.
Wow.
He only played for Detroit and Cleveland. He played from 1990. To 2002.
That's so in my wheelhouse. That's not even funny. Okay.
And he played the hot corner.
Hot corner.
Which one?
Well, third base.
Third base.
You never called first base the hot corner?
Never.
No. Maybe that's what people told me when I was playing.
I was always assuming it was the third base. But yeah, it was the third baseman.
He said 90 to. I was about to say Alan Trent, not from 90 to 2002.
90 to 02. It says you're also shortstop. I remember him only as a third baseman. Maybe early on.
The teams again?
Detroit.
The Tigers and Cleveland.
And the Indians. Or Cleveland. Five-time All-Star.
Oh, my gosh.
So he's no bum. One-time Gold Glove. One-time Silver Slugger. A lot of hardware for this gentleman.
Why are we so bad at this?
Yeah, seriously. This one I thought would be too easy.
Travis Fryman.
Correct.
Oh! Fadeaway from Billy.
We did the...
You want one of the confetti guns, Billy?
Guns. Yeah.
No, that's all right.
That was a walk-off. A walk-off. Travis Fryman. I've been
Twitch chat saying Tony Phillips, Robin Ventura.
I've been terrible.
Shoeless
at this.
Joe.
I wanted to say Mickey Tendleton. I knew that
was
right.
Text line's all over Fryman. Okay. Text line, and we're on a little bit of a delay.
Hang
so they
Arcan likes the text and drive. Did I get
Fryman
from Arcan? Yeah,
Fryman's an easy one.
Nothing in there, although he might be on
it's
a slight delay.
When he's not here yet.
Yeah, it's good. Well, it's a good point. He wasn't here yesterday to Bip Roberts. I don't want to, I don't know. And so, Travis Fryman, good one. Good one, Lanny.
Nice.
I mean, honestly, Lanny, when he gets it right, not only does he give you the fadeaway, he also gets the full name right, unlike me, where it's usually some amalgamation of the name.
Part of it's wrong.
So good job, Billy.
Yeah. I like that, Bill.
Luckily, we don't play by Jeopardy rules. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
we don't.
It's kind of in the area.
Rapid fire guesses. Yep. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
I like that. So real quick, we'd be doing a disservice.
What's your favorite
grab bag?
I don't know.
You have to have a favorite. What comes to mind?
Horror movie of the day,
yes.
Brought to you by the hashtag Dork Podcast. Get it on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to go with another newer one from just a couple of years ago. 2022's Barbarian. Barbarian, currently streaming on both Hulu and Prime. A young woman discovers the rental home she booked is already occupied by a stranger. Against her better judgment, she decides to spend the night, but soon discovers there's a lot more to fear than just an unexpected house guest.
Barbarian.
Woo-hoo!
Conan? Conan lives there?
Conan is actually, it's the prequel to Conan the Barbarian. Nick, you've seen this?
Hashtag Dorm Podcast.
Nice.
Thank you, Devon.
It's good. Guys recommended it a couple years ago. Watched it. Loved it.
Excellent. So there you go. Barbarian.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Dorktober. Your recommendation.
Rolls on.
Each and every day in the grab bag on Jones and Keith. Let's see what WEI Afternoons has coming up. I know they're talking to Curran today, Andy Hart and Christian Arcan. I want more of their thoughts now that it's official that Drake May is starting, and it came out in the middle of their show. We'll get those thoughts next.
Putting a bow on Jones and Keith. Stay tuned for WEI Afternoons. Arcan and Hart got you covered until 6, reacting to the news that broke during their show yesterday. Drake May will be the starter for the New England Patriots against the Houston Texans.
The crossover is brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. Visit the Nines for the new $14.99 big deal meals every Monday through Wednesday. 4 new hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99, like the roast turkey dinner. You gotta love the Nines. I was listening to you guys yesterday. I know you're fans of the decision to go with Drake May. I think we all are. The idea that this was all their plan and it was Jerod Mayo's call, I mean, that's kind of what I find laughable about it, but I'm on board they're finally doing it.
Yeah, I don't know about the call part. I think that's debatable. That there's no way in hell they circled this game against the Texans, months ago to be the deployment of Drake May. No chance. The debate and the vote, I still have questions as to how this could have gone down. I think there's a chance, because I think we all thought Alex Van Pelt was probably in the slow play, don't play him mode, Dan Orlovsky mode. And then maybe he's like, wait a minute, people are starting to call for my job. You know what? Distracting? Put Drake May out there. Get him out there.
Maybe. Because he was very pro keeping Brissett after week 4.
Yeah,
so
like,
the Dolphins game was horrible, but was that enough to change his mind?
Well, maybe. This was the first week there was a question in the press conference, are you considering a change at play caller?
Yep.
So there was starting to be some hot seat.
Seat's
so the
up.
Best way to distract, now you get at least a month, right? No one's going to think about Alex Van Pelt in the offense for at least a month because now it's all about Drake May. He either sucks, he's great, he's good, he's young, he's
but
whatever.
You don't have the Drake May waiting in the wings excuse anymore. Like, if they suck for 2 months, he could lose play calling duties in December and never get another coordinator.
Yeah, Drake May has a lot more job security than Van Pelt does.
But in the short term, I agree. Yeah. This helps take the heat off Van Pelt. I do agree with that.
Yeah, and the rest of the season now is about this guy. I mean, that other stuff's going to be part of it, of course, but the rest of the season now, and you got 12 more games here, it's all about Drake May. It's all about every single thing that he does, the ways that he's used, the ways that he connects with his receivers or doesn't connect with his receivers, you know, like that. That's all going to be hyper-analyzed now, and they held it off as long as they could, and now that's what this is. This is the entire season now.
Hart's analyzing how he's sitting in not sitting at the podium.
Oh,
right?
You're telling us he likes that.
You love that?
First of all, I don't know if you guys watch, but the very beginning of it, it's weird.
I watched it without audio, where he kind of had like an awkward thing. I think Mego tweeted it out.
Right.
I watched it, and so I didn't hear what he said.
So they're like, he walks in, and they're like, yeah, sit down, whatever, and he sits in, and he's like, yeah, I don't like it. And he moves the chair out of the way and stands up, and he's going
to
be his own
Did
man.
Did he touch all the microphones like Belichick used
nope.
to do?
He I actually like that, too. He didn't touch anything. He waited for them, because the press conference started with his head not shown, because he's now out of frame.
Oh, like Wilson on Home Improvement?
Yes. but the opposite. You can see his lower, but not the upper.
Oh, nice.
So then they had to zoom out, but I like that.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, more just free from the waist down.
Yeah, I will say I've noticed he has a weird head lean.
Yeah.
Have you noticed he likes to lean his head to the right?
Yeah.
He looks at you like, yeah, good question.
That's his thinking pose.
Like or does he have like an imbalance in his neck muscles?
Yeah, it could be like a
he's working out ear issue.
Yeah.
Could be an issue.
Working
or it could be hearing
side.
Issue.
Could be an inner
but
ear
no,
problem.
Like to go up there and not just sit down because they told you to sit down if you're not comfortable, I think that's actually a good sign about a guy who should be his own man.
That's good.
He's not Jacoby Brissett.
That's right.
He's his own man.
Take the Pats money line.
Yeah.
He stood up today.
Yep. I'm not sure I would go that far.
Pats money line seems strong.
Yeah.
Now, we're thinking 17 points would be like a pretty sweet performance by the offense. Where do you stand? What would be like a good, like, oh, wow, that's pretty good?
Well, we started the barometer at just a drive. Give me one legit drive.
Wow.
Where you go 80 yards,
haven't they done that with Brissett? They've had drives with
Brissett. No, they're all short fields.
They were
much.
Short. I want you over 20-yard
They
line.
Had a drive against the Bengals. They had a drive against the Seahawks. You're saying in more recent weeks. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the Bengals game seems like forever.
It does.
Like,
that's
forget
true.
That. It's like last season.
Yeah.
That ruined everything, that game, in a way. Especially for those of us that thought 0-17 was in play.
Yeah, that bet went up in smoke.
But no, a drive. Put a real big boy drive together where you complete like four or five passes. You maybe had to step up once and scramble. I'm also just looking for, and you guys touched on this a little bit, some of those zone reads. I want to run up the middle. Like, boom, boom, he
Let
hits that
scoot.
Quick hitter.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's up the middle and he slides for like a 15-yard gain. Maybe gets up and gives the old youthful first down point.
Yeah.
Yes.
In that Pat Patriot uniform.
Oh, it's going to look so
sweet. Crowd's going to go nuts.
Did you see the socials just did their profile change, whatever, the Patriots?
Yeah, they did.
The Pat Pater.
You got any ins for getting me a helmet over there? I'm trying to get like a helmet.
You want me to steal you a helmet?
No. Like, maybe there's like some sort of reduced rate.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you got to do to get it. I'm not going to ask any questions.
Is that guy from Mexico out of jail who stole the Brady jersey?
I don't need
like a Brady helmet. I just think like a helmet would be fine.
Just buy it, big timer.
It's like $400.
Jones and Keith. I'm host too. I'm not buying your stupid helmet.
I didn't want you to buy it for me. I just thought maybe
you wanted me to steal it and go to prison.
Yeah, when I worked for the Patriots a long time.
I'll be a Netflix documentary.
Lying around.
I was just, you know, we're not going to
roll in there in the laundry cart.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so the answer's no, Hart.
Plus, there's not a lot of them lying around.
No,
because they only use them like they're new.
I know.
Are they doing them a second time? I think they'll need a second.
No, they are. They're wearing them twice this year.
So the one player I steal it from when he comes back around
he's like,
where's
my hat?
Where my helmet
go?
You can grab Jabril Peppers. He has the Guardian
I don't
cap.
Want that ridiculous hat.
Won't
be
using that
wear.
For a while.
Could not wear it. Wouldn't even fit my house, that helmet.
You can take that part off and just leave the regular helmet on.
Yeah, I don't want that top part.
Yeah,
looks outrageous.
I thought you were going to say like you didn't want to be tied to anything about that.
That's
domestic
also
violence.
True.
Yeah,
stay away from me.
Well, that too.
Yeah, apparently, he didn't care about that.
You got Mayo said, I got daughters.
I was going to say, bring that up after the fact. Mayo style, exactly. Yeah. So you guys have Curran today, right?
No. We have Curran tomorrow.
No, we have Mike.
What day is today?
Today's Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday, but we talked to
I heard you say that.
Schefter.
It's a Tommy Thursday.
Why the hell do I think? I've been thinking it's Thursday all day. I literally just realized it's only Wednesday.
Yeah.
We do have Giardi today, though.
4:30, Mike Giardi.
Oh, nice.
Oh, how about that?
Get him all riled up because he seems like he's on edge.
Okay.
Oh,
and I don't know why. He doesn't seem as upbeat on the start Drake May train as we are.
We needle him a little bit. That'll be good.
We read a tweet
of his a couple of different times.
I figured.
Pause. We read a tweet of his earlier today that I think is very interesting. And so you guys will talk to Giardi in the 4 o'clock hour.
Nice.
It's not a Thursday, so you will not be talking to Tommy.
Tomorrow, though,
long
will
tease.
Be
long tease.
And it's going to be awesome.
Make sure you're listening to WEEI Afternoons today, tomorrow, and every day. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 o'clock right here at WEEI.